Well, thank you very much, and good afternoon to everyone. Hope you're enjoying this beautiful spring weather and all the warmth out there. And anyway, I don't know how your life has gone, but for me, I can remember back when I was a youth and growing up in the church, and I thought certain thoughts, and I made certain comments, and now when I think back at those, I kind of roll my eyes and think, I can't believe I said that. One such thing I used to do often in church when I'd come, sometimes I'd even chuckle when I'd hear these stories about these Old Testament characters. And boy, you talk about some boneheads, boy. I couldn't believe the mistakes these guys would make. I thought, well, how could they ever do that? I certainly would never do that. But as I got older and I started looking at these scriptures and what they were facing and seeing how that would relate to today's life, I realized, you know what? I'm a lot more like all these people that made all these mistakes than I would care to admit in public. One such story I remember marveling at is Jonah. Now here God tells him to go to the city of Nineveh and do a job. And Jonah heads the other way. Of course, then God has to send the big fish to swallow him up. Well, as an adult, you know, I came into church and I got baptized, and at the time of baptism, I don't know where you were, but you might have been in a place somewhat similar to me, where I get to the point where, you know, I tell God, I give up. I give you gave me life, you gave me free choice, and I give it back to you, and I say, you're going to be my Lord, you're going to be my shepherd, and you find a way to make something valuable out of my life, because I don't know how to make character in myself. I don't know how to have more love for other people equal to how much I care for myself. I don't know how to make something that's lasting, everlasting out of my life. But I trust you as the creator of all human beings to know how to order my steps and to direct me. So voluntarily, I then became a slave to God, a doulos. And at that point, that's where you are. And I think as we go along, it's easy to forget that we're still supposed to be living sacrifices, giving God complete control of our lives, for Him to decide, it's time for you to go to Nineveh and preach. It's time for you to go over here and work and do this. And I'm reminded of what it says in Romans 8, in verse 14, where it says, those who are led by the Holy Spirit, those are the sons of God. And those are the ones that will enjoy the joy of the Lord. So I was thinking a lot about this concept of being led and how it might apply to us today. In the culture of the Jews when Jesus Christ was alive, I think it's very interesting that the Jews are a group of people who kept the Sabbath day. They knew about the Sabbath day. They kept the holy days. They knew about the holy days. So they had a lot of truth and they were doing it. And yet, Jesus Christ was very, very displeased with them. You know, even to the point where when he talked about the Pharisees, he says, you know, it's going to be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you guys. Because they had an ability to take good things out of the Bible and make null and void all the things that were real important. They would take, like, giving to the church, which is a good thing, but they would do that in a way to get out of taking care and giving to their own parents and just really twisting the word of God. So the Jews, in a sense, were picking and saying, you know, I'm not going to be led by God here. What I'll do is I'll be good and righteous over here because I can tithe on this mint and come in. But what I don't want to do is have you, God, tell me I need to be working over here and developing love and kindness and tenderness to my parents or to whatever. They didn't want to give up complete control of their lives and complete control of their spiritual growth and development. I think Matthew 25 is a very interesting chapter. And many times, especially in the sermonette, we might look at one or two specific verses. But let's just take a step back a little bit and get a picture of the whole chapter. It begins with the parable of the 10 virgins. And the point of that story is that we're supposed to have the Holy Spirit. And he says, whatever you do, you got to make sure you get your lanterns full. You know, if you've got to buy it, whatever, but get that Holy Spirit. Then you move into the parable of the talents. And I don't think anything in the Bible was by accident. I don't think the order of each and every word is by accident. I think it was all perfectly planned out for many, many different reasons the way it's laid out. But first of all, he tells them to get the Holy Spirit. Then he tells them to take the talents they have and multiply them. You're going to have to increase this talent. And this talent should bring back something of value. It should be an increase. It should be something you could give back to the bridegroom, the master of the house. And then after that, he goes on and he talks about separating the sheep and the goats. And you find out that the reward is for those, we're going to be judged and rewarded based on how we treated God's brethren. And it says, you know, if you did it to the least of these, then you did it to me. If you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me. So as I think about it, it's easy for us in the church, it's easy for me to decide where I might change all by myself. But I think what I should be doing is letting God lead me through the Holy Spirit, so that he can direct me to show me where does he want me working now. Where is my Nineveh, so to speak? Because I know I don't want to be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, I can remember as a kid growing up, we had a little Welsh pony named Prince. Now, this horse was very stubborn. It wanted to go its own way. And you could reef on the rein so much that the head is pointed back to you, and that horse is still going to go that way. It was almost completely unleadable. You could not guide that horse for anything. One day, my dad puts spurs on. He's got the whip and everything trying to make that horse go, and he finally makes it go in a straight line like this. It gets to the ditch bank and rolls over in the water. And my dad comes back and says, that horse should be dog food. Now, compare that to a horse that my daughter rode a couple of years ago named Dude. 16 hands, very big and powerful animal. And you can set the reins down and simply guide this horse by just pressure on the knees or where your weight is in the saddle. I think that I would much rather be like Dude, easily led by God. First of all, I don't like to get hit over the head with 2x4s or swallowed by whales, because God's very intent on leading us and helping us to grow. But when we are stubborn and when we don't allow God to lead us and we don't work on the things he gives us, it makes it more painful for us and those around us. Now, in Matthew 25, there are some clues or some helpful hints, if you will. In verse 24, we find that there was one man who was given a talent, and he buried it. He didn't do anything with it. He didn't have growth. But we get some insights as to why he didn't grow. Says, then he, which had received the one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee, and that thou art a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not strewn. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Two things jump out at me. First of all, God is not a hard man. This individual was operating with a false premise, a false understanding of the nature of God, and how God works with people. And that led to very poor decisions and poor actions. The other thing that is very obvious here is that we cannot trust our feelings. Feelings are very fickle. They can't be counted on. They're there one minute and gone another. And throughout the Bible, one of the feelings that get us into the most trouble is the feeling of fear. The feeling of fear. And over again, we're told not to shirk back, but to be confident, to step out in faith, and to do the right things. So it's important that we have a relationship with God so that we know where he wants us to focus our attention and not be moved or make our decisions based on if we're afraid. The truth is, the Christian walk, it demands someone to be courageous. And not just courageous like, well, I'll stand in front of a speeding train or I'll save a child from a car. But there's a courage that says, I'm going to be open and vulnerable. I'm going to care for this person even though they've hurt me deeply. I'm going to go back and I'm going to try and make reconciliation. I'll be the first to step out in love. I'm going to ask this person if they want to come to dinner. They may not. Well, they may turn you down. There's many different aspects of courage and overcoming our fear so that we learn to reach out to people and connect. And I think those emotional hurts sometimes are the most difficult. And especially when you look at the principles of God and don't just apply them physically, But when you take the spirit and the intent of those laws and live those things, and I don't know how many sermons you guys have heard, but I recently went to a chiropractor's office, and they had a chart where they added up all the hours that a chiropractor does, and they compared it to a medical doctor. And the point of the plaque was to show you that they're just as trained. But what I marveled at is I went back and added up all of the hours I've had in church service and at the feasts, instruction in God's Word, at Ambassador College. And, you know, I should have been a doctorate two times over. So it seems to me that we have plenty of knowledge. And God, I think Satan is just happy if I come to church and say, oh, there's a message on have a pure heart. Okay, this week I'll have a pure heart. Next week, oh, okay, well, I better pray a little this week. And if we're not careful, we can take the shotgun approach. But the next Passover will come by. Am I any different, really? So I'm thinking that if we let God lead us and guide us and show us our Ninevehs, areas where we really need to work, and it's going to be different for everyone. Because the talents, you're rewarded for how you develop your talents, not if you're busy working at developing his talents or her talents. So if we will take the time to take messages where God's Spirit pricks our conscience and really develop and really make those principles or that sermon or that article, make it ours, make it part of who we are, and change significantly, I think we will be yielding to God's Holy Spirit, and we will be developing these talents. I know that we had a sermon a while back on what talents are. I think one thing that can be counted as a talent is opportunity. God gives us all opportunities, and those talents are given based on our abilities. And so we have opportunities to develop in God's love, in that agape love, and reaching out to one another. And we can know by the last half of Matthew 25 that as we're developing His talents, as we're being led by the Holy Spirit, it is going to produce these fruits we see in Matthew 25 at the end, where we have reached out and we've cared for the least of these, our brethren. And so my goal for this upcoming year, and the question that I ask myself and you might ask yourself, where am I? Am I in Nineveh or am I someplace else? Let's all be led by the Spirit of God and work in the areas that God directs.